The presidential campaign has featured a spate of stories about religion in politics, and today we have another one. Prominent Catholic lawyer and professor Douglas Kamek has come into conflict with a priest. Kamek is known as an opponent of abortion and a political conservative, but he endorsed Barack Obama for president. And as NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports, because of that, he was denied communion.
Doug Kamek served in a top Justice Department post in the Reagan administration, then as dean at Catholic University Law School, and now he teaches at Pepperdine in California. In April, he was asked by a group of conservative Catholic business people to give a talk about why he was endorsing Obama, who's pro-choice. Before Kamek was to speak, Mass was celebrated, and here, according to Kamek, is what happened.
Suddenly it was time after the readings for the homily, and the priest was talking about me. Indeed, he was only talking about me, and he was talking about, in quite explicit terms, how the only choice for a faithful Catholic was one of a choice, I don't think he mentioned Senator McCain by name, but a pro-life candidate, a fully legitimate pro-life candidate, and that anyone who would contemplate or endorse contemplate voting for or endorse a candidate otherwise was participating in a grave moral evil.
Then it was time to take communion.
We lined up in the way Catholics do, and I presented myself for communion, and he shook his head from left to right. And I said to him, "I think you're making a serious mistake here, Father." And he said, "I don't think I've made any mistake."
Kamek's wife, Carol, fled the room in tears. He stayed but felt wounded, deprived of his faith.
The people who were in attendance were mortified by what they had witnessed, as they should be, because faith isn't a weapon. And communion, by the very definition of the word, is community. What we were witnessing was religion used as a form of anti-community.
This is not the first time a well-known Catholic has been denied communion. In 2004, St. Louis Archbishop Raymond Burke forbade presidential candidate John Kerry from taking communion while in the area. But this is the first time in memory that a private citizen, not someone seeking elective office, has received such treatment. In Los Angeles, the spokesman for Cardinal Mahoney said, quote, "It was not within this priest's authority to have done this. It was wrong," close quote. The spokesman added, "The Archdiocese of Los Angeles and Cardinal Mahoney do not endorse any candidate for political office. Neither do we offer sideways intimations or suggestions as to which candidate is more appropriate than another." Canon law experts seem to agree with that assessment. Typical is this from canon law expert Ladislaw Orsi at Georgetown University Law School here in Washington.
The minister of the Eucharist is not a judge and must not try to be one. Communion must not be refused to anyone unless either the local bishop or the Holy See issued and promulgated a formal decree. You know, he must be formally condemned.
Another canon law expert, Father Reginald Witt at the University of St. Thomas School of Law in Minnesota, said that no candidate for president would meet all the issue criteria required by the Catholic Church, but it is a greater sin not to vote. So why, you may wonder, has Doug Kamek, a fervent opponent of abortion, endorsed a candidate who supports abortion rights? Because, he says, he agrees with Obama on other issues, from the economy to the war.
I think he's representing our better selves. He's calling us to get past divisions that were deliberately exploited for political purposes that, in fact, don't solve problems. They just aggravate them.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
And one final political note. Barack Obama has received the endorsement of the highest-ranking African-American member of Congress. Representative James Clyburn of South Carolina tells the Associated Press he will officially announce tomorrow that he is backing Obama.
We
We turn now to the Reverend Don Jones. Jones was the former youth pastor at the First United Methodist Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. That was the childhood church of Senator Hillary Clinton. And he was an early spiritual advisor to Clinton in the 1960s. Clinton has said that Jones inspired her greatly when he took her to see Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. speak in Chicago back in 1963. Pastor Jones, welcome to the program.
Well, it's very nice to be with you, Audie.
Now, the last time you spoke to us, it was around Super Tuesday. So what is your reaction to Senator Clinton's speech, her ending her campaign?
Well, I thought it was a very fine speech. It was very gracious regarding her endorsement for Obama. And, of course, she was effusive in her gratitude towards her supporters, both in the audience and those of us out in TV land. So substantively and stylistically, I thought it was one of her finest speeches of the campaign.
Now, have you been in touch with her at all?
I haven't. She has been way too busy. I've seen her 3 times during the campaign, but I have not been in touch with her.
One of the dominant themes of her speech was in turning over her supporters to Senator Barack Obama. And I'm wondering whether that has affected you, if you'll be following her in supporting him.
Well, I will. I'm obviously deeply saddened and disappointed in Hillary's very close loss. And, of course, some of that feeling is due to my friendship bias and strong affection for her. But I'm also saddened and disappointed because of what the American people will miss out on in not having one of the finest and most qualified persons ever to run for the presidency and be the very first woman in the office. But I will give my wholehearted support for Obama.
Now, knowing her as well as you do, what do you think her next step might be?
Yeah, I can only speculate because I have no inside knowledge information, but I'm guessing and I'm actually hoping that she remains in the Senate because I think she could probably do more good and achieve more of her social reformist goals in that position of power rather than the vice presidency or secretary of state even. And I would hope that in the future that her colleagues in the Senate might even see it in their interest and reward her with being the majority leader. And there I think she could do the most good.
The Reverend Don Jones, former youth pastor at the First United Methodist Church in Park Ridge, Illinois, the childhood church of Senator Hillary Clinton. Reverend Jones, thank you for speaking with us.
Well, thank you, Audie. I enjoyed it.
From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The reunions have begun of families from a polygamist group in Texas. A West Texas judge has ordered all of the children, more than 400, released from state custody and returned to their parents. That's after 2 court rulings which found that the state did not have enough evidence to justify seizing the entire group of children. As NPR's Wade Goodwin reports from San Angelo, Texas, today's order does not end the standoff between Texas child welfare officials and the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
It was a day of sweet vindication for Warren Jeff's chosen people. In the last 2 weeks, Texas courts came to their aid, and this morning, trial judge Barbara Walther threw in the towel and ordered all of the children returned. But outside the courthouse in San Angelo, FLDS leader Willie Jessup did not sound all that victorious.
We wished it was a better order, but hey, it gets the children and the mothers back, so we'll take it.
If there's a hint in Willie Jessup's statement of the multiple self-interests at work inside these large FLDS families, that's because the group is still very much under assault by the state of Texas. Judge Walther gave the children back, but she also allowed Texas child welfare officials the authority to continue their ongoing investigation. The adults must identify themselves as parents to each particular child, allow themselves to be fingerprinted, and the parent and child to be photographed. The FLDS has a tradition of hiding its family histories from the state. Walther's order allows investigators to continue looking very closely at them for the very first time.
We have concerns regarding these children, and that's why our investigation continues, and it will continue until the investigation is complete.
Marley Meisner is with Texas Child Protective Services. While the polygamists won a vital battle to get their children returned to them, their war with the state is very much in progress. Jack Sampson is a law professor at the University of Texas.
Victories in an abuse and neglect case, is very difficult to talk about victory at any time until there's a final order.
And there's also the ongoing criminal investigation by the Texas Rangers. While the children have been ordered by the judge to remain in Texas, the fathers will be allowed to leave. If not everybody is happy with the order, two groups are ecstatic, mothers and children. Julie Balovich represents seven FLDS mothers. She's spoken to each one, and they are over the moon.
The mothers are so grateful and so excited to see their children. It's going to be a very emotional time for them. This couldn't have come at a moment too soon. We're ready for these children to be home with their mothers.
All the FLDS children, even the pregnant underage teens and underage moms, will be sent back to the Yearning for Zion Ranch immediately. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, San Angelo.